Okay, we're on.
Okay, thank you. This is Helen Pillsbury, Commissioner, calling to order the March 14th, 2019 hearing of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission. Present today are Helen Pillsbury, Commissioner, Kirsten Hoffman, Commissioner, Sharon Cayley, Alternate Commissioner, and Staff Person Joseph Cornish. The first item on the agenda is a violation, 19.756AB, 354A Chestnut Hill Avenue, applicant Jonathan Lau, completed work installation of unimproved window signage at front facade. Okay, so the applicant can come forward and
explain. Just want to show you, this is where, if you want to pass this around, this is where what things looked like before, and Jonathan and I had a telephone conversation, and I kind of walked you through some ideas I thought that might be helpful for reducing the amount of signage. So thank you.
Is this the current status of it now?
This is how it currently appears.
Yeah, and this is how it was when we cited the violation.
This is what it looked like.
Is that not the same?
No. There's a lot more.
Oh, because of having that board in the front and having that
the open sign
with the hours.
And then, there's some other.
Right, but all the decals are the same.
Yes. The decals are the same.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Let's go with the first decal, which would be that one there. That's just another logo for my shop name. That one is 15 inches in height and 28 inches in width. And then if you go, that would be this one here, right here, 15 inches in height, 28 inches wide. And then the next set of proposed signage is the top one, which is our business hour sign. We had a neon lit open sign, and we removed that one. We're just going to use this one per orders of Mr. Joe Cornish. And then this one here is one of our required 21-plus have your ID ready signs. That one is 4 inches in height by 14 inches in width. And then we have, this is just a list of things that we carry in this store. And this one is 40 inches in height and 28 inches in width.
Yeah, I think part of the initial problem was the fact that it was more than 30% of the window signage, more than 30%.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Right, and that's a city code. That's a city code.
Right.
And I just, does that flash above the door?
No, I don't have it flash.
So but it is electric.
It is electric.
Okay.
The business hour stays on, and when we're in business, it looks like that. When we're closed, this is not lit. So we don't have it flashing. I was told to keep away from anything that flashes.
Right, that's one of them.
I think one of the issues to me was that all these decals, and we haven't really dealt with decals. I don't know that the guidelines even really specifically addresses decals, but I know that we had, but it's like how much information and how much is going on there. I know that there was the hair salon that did, which is down
Eagles
the street. Down the street.
Yeah.
It's not there now anymore, but they like replaced their signage and without a permit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all that kind of bullet points of information and our view was that it was like too much clutter. They redid it to a format that was acceptable. I feel like this kind of falls in that vein or whatever of just how much stuff there is.
Mm-hmm. I know in some of the other districts they've looked at these decals kind of like the reverse painting that was done, you know, back in the early 20th century.
Uh-huh.
When people would paint in the windows. I mean, it's not exactly that, but, you know, you could say, you know, there is a precedent for window signage of that variety. But I think, it is important, you know, how much clutter do you want?
Right.
And what's the balance with you to get the information you need to get out?
Yeah.
Because you probably legally have to have that 21 plus.
Right, yeah, clearly that has to
yes.
be there because that's a legal requirement.
But some of it's duplicative, right? Like the two vape shop signs are duplicative. There's an adults-only retail tobacco store. there is a, that seems to be duplicative of the 21 flats. And I can't see what the little ones are. But then there's a long description of things that are offered there. But then the Facebook, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, if you need me to take off the Facebook one, I can take off the Facebook one. I'm here to comply, so.
Mm-hmm.
If you need me to shorten up that list, I mean, probably take off marijuana and wax accessories without having to redo the whole thing and full service vape shop to shorten it up. I'm here to listen to your recommendations.
Where you have, you know, the large vape shop sign, which did we approve that one?
Yes,
right?
We did. That one for review.
But then I don't know that you need the duplicative decals repeating
right.
that twice on
right.
the windows and the door.
Yeah.
So if you got rid of those, which are just the same thing, really repeated.
Can I keep one of them? Like either this one or this one? I would like to keep this one. I mean, that one.
Which, the one in the window.
Thinking about how we go through the grocery store and what's at eye level, it seems to me the decal on the door would be better off in the window. Because then it would catch the eye more and it would demonstrate the different shapes of products that you're offering. And it would also...
In this window here?
No. Replace...
This one?
That one with, to your left, with that. Eliminate that and put that
one
there. And when you think about it, it would balance the information that's on the opposite window.
Yeah, I mean... Whatever I need to do to not get a violation.
I don't think you need to tell people to go to Facebook because everybody is doing that.
Yeah, I think maybe either one or the other of the ones that are on the window
yeah.
and on the door.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say about the one that's on the window as opposed to the one that's on the door, it's just simpler. Like the one on the door has a lot of little symbols. The one on the...
Well, they're the style of the
right,
different products
right.
you offer,
but like,
right? And you want
yeah.
people to see
but
that.
I don't know that that's... And that's almost kind of what we got into with the hair salon. They were giving too much...
Well, you could
almost
choose.
Advertising what they were, their products.
I suppose if we said you could keep one at eye level, then you could choose which one you wanted. I don't know that we need to dictate the content.
Yeah. We could let him choose. But I would definitely take off the Facebook balloon.
Okay. It's this part here. Right?
Yeah.
I think it'd be good. Can I borrow that pencil?
Of course.
And just then, if you have the 21 plus, do you really need the little whatever it is that's...
Well, I mean, the whole problem with my shop being in Cleveland Circle is that there's an epidemic, quote-unquote epidemic, with minors trying to come into the shop, so...
Right.
This is required by
right.
the Board of Health
right.
for me to have
so
that.
So that's required?
And yeah.
Is it also
I put that to protect myself.
uh-huh.
So that way if a customer comes in, you'd have to be blind or sight impaired to not see that
mm-hmm.
when it's right
yeah.
in front of
yeah.
your
okay.
face.
I would say that serves like a public health need. So I would say that,
yeah.
you know, is,
yeah.
is an argument for
and
having that
mm-hmm.
for that one. To me, just... leaving the vape shop that's in the window that's kind of large and simple and getting rid of the all the cluttery one that's there.
You prefer me
right.
to move that one?
Well, you know, I'm okay either
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
So
I just feel like part of what our thing with the salon was they were like advertising every
really,
single product and service.
Yeah, yeah.
And we said they weren't really supposed to. They were supposed to give the
right.
general idea of their business without...
But you have the other information
this,
on that side.
And they
yeah.
put all that text
so you keep
information
that except for
there.
The Facebook. But
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, And I think, Helen, that font is kind of early 20th century.
Right.
I mean, there's something about it that
yeah.
kind of relates more to the building than the,
right.
I don't know.
Right.
And I apologize for not submitting an application.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like you did come for the over head sign. Yeah, we reviewed that, but
well,
it's like... Everything on the, any work to the facade or any change to the facade,
Right. And any signage that's inside, that's mentioned.
And yes, it actually says in the code that even signs that are inside, but if they're on the
glass, if they are visible,
applied inside the glass, but if they're still signage, that still is under the purview.
That's why if you look at the backdated photo, you'll see a neon blackboard sign. Right. You'll see two neon signs. So I did clean it up with this, I believe.
And so now you're proposing, can you explain to this, you're proposing adding this sign. This is not here, am I understanding you correctly? The one that says open, or is that there now?
That's there.
Yeah, he had two open signs.
Oh, okay.
Before. He had just one here, and that one, which he's moved now.
Oh, okay, and they moved that one there.
So I was
going to
take one down.
Okay.
Because it was successful.
Okay, it's like, right. Mm-hmm.
And that one, the one you kept has the hours on it.
So right.
Yeah.
So it has more information. If that seems okay. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah, it does.
So, do we think we have a? I can try to.
I think so.
I can try to articulate that. What we're saying is that the proponent may leave the vape shop, the large vape shop decal that's in the left-hand window pane, but can leave the information about 21 plus requirement. And can leave the lines of text that describe the products and services, but shall remove the series of decals, both images and text, in the bottom of the door, and remove the Facebook and social media bubble that's in the right-hand pane. And he has already moved the open sign with the hours to the transom of the door, and that is acceptable to leave that there where he has
and
shifted it to.
And the Facebook balloon?
Right, that's it. We moved the social media balloon, yeah. Is that everything?
Yep.
I think so.
Okay. Any other comments? Any members of the public, or actually I should ask first, any elected officials, representative official offices, any members of the public to comment? Okay. So I think we can take a vote. Kirsten.
Oh, yes. Did somebody second?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Kirsten?
Yes.
I say yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we have unanimously approved to the remediation of the violation at 354 H. Chestnut Avenue, 19.756 AB. Okay, thank you.
I'll follow up with you in a letter so you're
okay.
Clear.
Okay.
Perfect.
Good.
Thank you for
coming.
Thank you
very much, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone for their time.
You're welcome.
So the next item on the agenda is now a design review, 19.78484AB, 1916 Beacon Street, applicant Anna Haish, proposed work installation of blade sign at front facade. Is there someone here? Please come forward and... can you just give us your name for the record?
Yeah, it's Anna Howard, and
okay.
I'm the applicant at ProSign Graphics.
Okay. And so if you can just show us and explain to us your proposal. Yes.
So Santander has the wall sign already existing, and they are asking to add the blade sign. We did go through the BPDA, and we did get their approval in addition to yours. The blade sign, they're asking, there's a few other companies on that street that also have a blade sign. The blade sign is originally about 12 inches bigger. The BPDA did ask that we keep the blade sign the same height as their existing wall sign. And then another reason why we are asking for the blade sign, the wall sign is great for the drivers passing by. The blade sign's more so when you can see it from a distance, you can see their logo.
As a pedestrian.
Correct. If you guys need plans, I don't know if you have them in front of them.
Okay, I checked them online.
Okay. Commissioner, questions, comments?
No, I think the modifications that have already been recommended seem to address the issue, except for the attaching it to the mortar joints.
Right. I think that staff recommends that.
It looks like there are mortar joints there that it could be fastened into. Is that possible?
Yeah, I can see.
the reason for that is when, you know, I know hopefully it'll stay up for a long, long time, but it's sometime when tenants change or they do rebranding, when it comes down, we want to make sure the masonry is not damaged. So pitting it in the mortar joints is a little more reversible.
I know we did a site survey, so I'm sure they have photos like right to the right of that sign.
Good, thank you.
I mean, I think that this, we have been allowing blade signs on a number of businesses there. They did review this. They actually wanted to put the Santander sign where it is and an additional one in the window, and we didn't allow that because it was excessive signage. But this serves another purpose, whereas that just seemed like too much signage in the same place. This serves another purpose, that it's, this is kind of the pedestrian oriented. The big one is kind of the general and street oriented. So, except with that proviso. Any
other comments? Yeah, no other comments.
Chair?
No.
Does anybody want to make a motion?
Well, I make a motion that we accept it with a proviso of investigating attaching it to the mortar joints.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Comment from the public, or I don't think we have any elected officials. Okay. So, second, Kirsten?
Yes.
Helen, yes?
Yes.
Sharon, yes. Okay, so we have unanimously approved with proviso 19.784AB, 1916 Beacon Street. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Okay. The next item is 19797AB, 1799 Commonwealth Avenue. Applicant Grant Gao. Proposed work: replace two existing awnings with wall signs and recover two existing awnings with sunbrella fabric and signage. Okay. Hi. Are you Grant Gao?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We are looking to replace, as you said, we replaced two of the awnings and recovered two other awnings. The signs we're proposing, the new signs we're proposing, are internally illuminated channel letters. One goes over the doorway and the other one to the right of the store.
So it's these two.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you have any questions?
One question I had,
sure.
Did you or your client consider using those goose head lights to illuminate the sign rather than having the sign illuminated itself?
Those goose neck lights are quite dark. I went by a couple of times. They were not really that well.
Will they stay in place?
We can take them out.
I'm sorry?
We can remove them.
You would remove them?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's been a restaurant there of some kind or another for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. It's at the end of my street. I can't agree that it's hard to see. Mm-hmm. Because you'd know it was there, and you're always looking for... It's right at a traffic light.
Mm-hmm.
So, my personal preference is to keep the awnings consistent, but I can understand your desire to... Mm-hmm. Replace the Commonwealth Avenue side with a sign,
right.
A flat sign.
Because the awnings are quite dark.
It's
kind of overwhelmed by the
I actually
fabric.
Think the awning kind of covers some of the architectural detail. And I have to comment that the business that's there now, those awnings were that did not go through Aberdeen
actually it
review.
Did
review
it did when it was done it was a an Italian
bluestone
oriented
pizza.
Bluestone and
right.
then it
and it changed
went on
and
to
it changed to
Thai
that,
bistro
and it changed to that Thai bistro and they never came for review and at some point I realized that had happened and I like kind of got by and I never reported it but so to me we're kind of
improving.
Well, it's kind of like what was there was never went through review, so whether we would have approved it or not is kind of a moot point at this point. I feel like taking the awnings off opens the opens it up more and you see the...
So you would recommend removing all of the awnings?
No, I mean, I'm not going to make them... they're talking about recovering ones that are already there, so I wouldn't require them to remove that. But I just think removing the one on the front actually opens it up a little more and that you see more of the facade.
Yeah, and they have, if you can look at the photo, they have a little patio area.
That's been there for ages.
It kind of opens up the area a little bit, and so, you know, the patio can see into the restaurant and vice versa. It's kind of nice. And the awning on the left side, the awnings that we are preserving, they kind of gonna serve the purpose of blocking some of the sun rays.
Yeah.
In the afternoon.
The afternoon sun really comes in very strongly, but.
So you would just that's recovering existing structure with a sombrella.
Right.
Fabric that's a canvas type of
yes.
fabric that meets
yes.
yep. the guidelines. I think a sombrero.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thought?
Yeah, no, I agree. Makes sense.
I mean, am I like?
No, you're right, because our biggest concern in earlier
right.
reviews of this building
right.
was to make sure that the facade was not damaged in any
right.
way.
Right. I'm like so nearsighted. Where are those gooseneck lamps? Like I can't even see them. There.
If you feel like I can show you.
So they were shining on the awning.
They're shining on the awning. I'm kind of doing just because the name is on the awning.
Yes.
Is it?
At least you can see it.
I mean, I can see the argument for having the gooseneck lamp, but I also think this sign is very similar to the other signs we've approved recently. There's not so much in this. There's not that many stores right here, but in the Cleveland Circle district, or down the street on at the corner of Sutherland, where there's other little commercial district.
Yeah.
We have approved basically this type of. This is. It's backlit lettering. Can you explain the materials and the lighting on that?
The lights will go through the faces. The face are made out of acrylic, which is
right.
plastic glass. And
the
box, the raceway in the back is made out of aluminum.
Right. And so does that look different? Like, does the coloration look different at night versus day when the light is on versus not on?
It should be pretty consistent.
Because sometimes they're like one color during the day and different when they light up.
Right, because these colors are pretty much primary colors.
Right.
So there's not a lot of variances.
Right. And what about the roundel? We didn't really talk about that.
The round sign?
The round sign, yeah.
Over the door.
It'll be the same thing. It's just a different shape.
What material is that?
It'll be the same acrylic.
That's
base.
Acrylic.
Is it
on a metal base or is it?
Mm-hmm.
That's lit as well.
Right. It's basically the same kind of sign as for number one Brighton. It's just made into a bigger, bigger.
It's
element.
The same profile, right?
It's the same profile.
Is that? I'm just like asking about. No backlit plastic signs. That's just what I want. Is that a backlit plastic sign?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's aluminum in the back, and then you have the acrylic face.
So it also has a metal in the. It also has a metal. It's just hard
right.
to see that. It also has a metal back, and the same
right.
as the rectangular one. It's
right.
just that it's round.
That's right.
And with the same acrylic, and then with the same kind of aluminum.
Would you be able to make use of existing, like the awning is attached to? The current awnings attached to the building, as are the gooseneck lamps, would you be able to use those connections for the sign, or would you have to make new?
We won't be able to use those brackets, because those brackets are around the perimeter of the awning.
Okay.
But these signs will be drilled in, so the inside of the sign. So we basically drill in, secure the sign onto the wall, and then we'll put the faces on. So the screws and brackets will be hidden.
Do you have any concerns about how the signs are attached?
No, I think when the the concern will be, since the gooseneck lights are coming down, we'll want to see how those openings are going to be filled in.
Oh, right. Yeah. We're gonna,
so I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's standard protocol for us. We will patch those holes. We're going to, first of all, we're going to pull all the wires back and just terminate them at the source. And then we're going to fill silicone into those holes and make them watertight. And if we can't find the matching color silicone, we paint them.
And is that masonry up there, or is it?
Yeah, it's masonry.
Yeah, so yeah. I think we may want to work with you a little more. Maybe when the goosenecks come down, you consult with us, and we can come out and make sure.
We might have like staff review.
Yeah, I think that would make sense.
I don't
think
we need to come back.
Yeah,
because it'll be hard to tell really what to do until they come down.
Right.
Yeah.
To see how big the openings are.
Yeah, and we want that to be properly remediated.
But you will keep them where the awnings are located.
Correct.
Right? Yes. So
on that other facade. Any other commissioner comments?
No.
Or questions?
No. Satisfied.
Should make a motion then that.
Can I ask a quick question?
Oh, I'm sure. Didn't ask for a public comment.
What's the
comment.
Difference between this type of a construction of a sign and a backlit sign?
A backlit sign is one of those. They're almost not used that much anymore because this has. Is
because
the more predominant style.
Like
you picture a plastic box that has like a plastic panel and then like light bulbs inside
is an LED based light plastic enclosure.
Right, and that it's not just a box but that the sign is individually and letters are individually lit. It's not just like a big plastic box. There's many backlit signs. They're kind of the idea of not approving them is that they're not as aesthetically pleasing.
Okay.
I think is the reason. And the thing is that the signage has changed so
well,
much
in
the last 20 years since these guidelines were written that, like, these kind of signs
you couldn't do anything like
hardly
this.
Even existed
at
that point. So that's what we kind
even
of
even the lighting has changed.
Yeah. The light bulbs and everything, right.
The bulb.
Yeah. But so that's the, it's almost something that's dated in a way at this point.
Yeah, the bit they revised.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I will make a motion to accept the proposal with the proviso removing the allowing the new signage, allowing resurfacing or recovering the awnings the awnings on the that'd be like the western facade I guess adding the new round L sign, adding the new illuminated rectangular sign and removing the gooseneck lamp on the Commonwealth Avenue facade but having staff review and consultation for exactly how that's done, the color of and the color that is applied and the materials used for that patching of the area where the goosenecks are removed.
And I'll second it.
Thank you. Kirsten?
Yes.
Helen, yes.
Yes.
Sharon. Okay, so application 19.797AB 1799 Commonwealth Avenue is approved with proviso, unanimously approved with proviso. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
When do you anticipate opening?
In fact, they are already open.
Oh.
They're just waiting for the approval so we can, you know, replace the signage.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Good.
Good day.
Okay. The next item is 19833AB 42 Englewood Avenue. Applicant Ben Jacob Ellis proposed work install 42 inch tall black vinyl coated fence at side of property. Are you Ben?
I am.
Okay.
And I want to apologize. We realized. Did you find out about this through a postcard or?
So there was a postcard sent to the building.
Yes.
And you know, it's a co-op, our condo association. So I'm the executor of that. But the individual on the first floor, he was like, hey, Ben, we got the notice, because I filed all the documentation.
We realized we had your email name
incorrect. Yeah, no problem.
I think we had an L or an I, so.
And I made it.
All right, and I put together, you know, we may need a little more information, but I put together the best I could to show them today.
Yeah, no problem.
So, I mean, this is what you submitted with your application.
Yeah, so I sent, it's a little bit tricky giving you guys the full set of pictures just because of all of the, you know, we've got some great foliage back there, you know, and which we're not touching or anything, but we have a little bit of this open field between the two properties. As you can see, as you look down towards the back of our properties, there's more of a few like natural barriers to try and keep people separated. We've just had too many in the past 12 months, like safety issues with people from 38 Englewood Ave, you know, driving down our property quickly. Yeah. Like I have a 10-month-old, my friends below me have a 3-month-old, my mom's out there in a stroller with the baby, and these people are flying down our driveway, they don't be let there. And I talk to them, but they're renters and they're just like, you know. So I have to do something. I tried to put some decorative planters between the property out of like whiskey barrels, and then our condo association plants them, and you know, but they've been thrown, tipped over, and you know, removed so people could drive and always have access, because they tend to stagger vehicles down their driveway, and they're trying to use our driveway as a right-of-way, and I got...
It's not a common driveway, is that
correct? It is not. So I filed legal paperwork with the city maybe 2 years ago to, you know, because the original Burke group was trying to claim they had an easement on the property, so I had to go through the city and get a lawyer, and that got fixed, but...
That's the property that we just reviewed.
This is the legendary 38 Englewood Avenue that I live next to. You guys are very familiar with it.
Yeah.
I am excited about the new project, but construction for a year and a half also poses other safety risks for me and my family. Right. So I have to get some sort of a physical barrier in place, and I reviewed the documents for approved fencing for the Aberdeen District. And of the chain link fencing, this is the most desirable and to put up there. So we'll be repairing the chain link that's a little bit tattered in the back.
And that's vinyl coating.
That's vinyl coated.
This is a sample from your fence company.
And then this will be, and then we're going to just bring it up along our property line to keep the vehicle traffic off and increase safety for us.
I guess it's like how far forward is it coming?
So it's going to come right to where that line is. We're thinking we'd like to try and not, I don't want to bring it all the way to the roadway because I don't like the way that looks. But strategically and physically, if we're able to bring it that far, it really prohibits the people next door from tandem parking a bunch of vehicles at the end of the driveway, having them pour off onto the street, and then driving up our driveway to go around and then to get to the back of their building. So, which is what I'm trying to prevent for safety issues.
I mean, it's a little hard for me to picture exactly how this is going to look. So this, what I'm going to suggest may not be feasible from a positioning point of view. You said you would try to put planters. Would it be possible to put a planter kind of at the front of the fence just to have something a little bit blocking
sure.
the view of
we could,
or would that
something.
Get knocked over from
well I think people? I think the problem with the planters that I had in place was there was no way, like, I'm fairly handy, but I wasn't concrete drilling or asphalt drilling into our driveway to permanently put them there. And the people that live next door, basically, even though they were 100 pounds with all the soil, and I put some potting rocks at the bottom, they tipped them over, they smashed them. Whenever somebody else moves in next door, I get like 4 moving trucks, and they either drive over them or like, and it's, you know, I don't think anybody's doing it to be like mean or terrible people, and it's just because there's no physical barrier there, we have this issue.
I guess to me, it's a little hard for us to picture exactly where this is going to be and what will look like, and how far forward.
Well, if you look at the other picture, that's going to give you a really good idea of what. So right down there, that's where the fence is going.
Right.
right where that red line, because it's going to go all the way to the back of our property line and come up to the front corner of the house.
It doesn't go beyond the front corner of the house.
I'd still like to maintain that
the front corner, because you've got that one single curb cut for both.
No, no, we have our own curb cut.
Really?
Let's say it right. There is a single curb cut, but it's double wide. And there's a city,
there's a half that's supposed to be yours and a half that's supposed to be theirs.
Yeah.
So realistically, we could go all the way to the roadway, but aesthetically, I don't love the way that looks. And realistically,
no, that would look awful.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that, but doing it like this will protect us from a safety standpoint. Mm-hmm. And accomplish what we're trying to do.
The guidelines do say that because we do have these open spaces in Aberdeen, generally fences are not typical here and they're not encouraged, and it says chain link fences are discouraged. If a chain link fence is to be used, it shall be black vinyl coated, and lot lines that face a public way shall be lined with a hedge. So that's where I'm kind of suggesting the idea of maybe having some, not necessarily lining with a hedge, but having kind of planter kind of at the front that would just a little bit block the view.
And what we can do, because that physical structure would be there, we could either build like a decorative cap on that front post that would be right there, and we could hang like... Everyone in our condo association loves to do the yard and do flowers and stuff.
Like
so
seasonal.
We can do hanging boxes on our physical fence and on the front of it, which would look nice.
Just to a little bit shield the fact.
Oh, absolutely. My goal initially wasn't to do a fence. It was to try and do like a natural, barrier that was pretty. And I just failed miserably.
With rental properties, there's too many personalities.
I think that's probably best said, for sure.
I don't really have any questions about this. I think all of the solutions that we're discussing are viable. I know enough people who have had common driveways and some of the issues that arose, and... In my neighborhood, there are multiple buildings with student rentals that change over every 11 months. So I know about the moving trucks. The situation, once 38 is renovated and added on to, it might settle down and you might not have as much chaos, but that's another year and a half away.
That absolutely is. And the construction will be a challenge for us if we don't have a physical barrier, because we will have people showing up every day parked in our driveway.
You may have like a ruined fence actually after the
process. Guess what? I'm okay if they ruin the fence because it keeps them on
that side.
The other side. It's just a fence. It's for safety.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that's...
Well, you see it's there. You know, someone will say, all right, this
you know,
is my
they'll
side.
Be like, you know what, we can't pull two cement mixers side by side down there because, there's actually a fence. Right. You know, so I think it, a little bit of, there'll be a respect factor. And again, it's all safety. I don't care. The aesthetic we did was we repaired the fencing that was in the front of our house that was falling down. So, and that came out really nice. It's not chain link. It's decorative, ornate fence to match our neighbors, and that looks really good. So.
Would you feel you would want Stiff review when he has more?
Maybe just to confirm what you're doing at the end. So, if you're going into a post or something.
Exactly where it's ending.
I think we want it, just as you say, we just want to make sure it ends at the front of the house.
Just to kind of make sure that it follows up. Because we're not seeing anything real specific here. I just want to make sure that it follows up and that what gets actually implemented is what we agree on here.
So what's the best way to get you guys that data? I didn't, because it's a fence, I don't have like an architect involved.
Right, no.
You're working with a fence manufacturer, so I think, maybe you can ask them about a different type of pole at the beginning, if that's what you want to do,
if
you decide to do a planter
instead.
Whatever
you guys are going to be happy with, if they offer it,
right.
that's okay with us. Because again, for me, it's the safety aspect. Mm-hmm.
Can we require the planting, or is that more something we could recommend but can't really
require? You can require it.
With your landscape, I think maybe the two options, you could say a planter.
Or a hanging.
Yes.
Some kind of visual.
Vegetation,
thank you for the right word. Yes. It's kind of a shield.
The hanging thing or something that's physically fixed will be better for us, because the challenge has been stuff that's on our property, because we have a much bigger portion as part of our deed than the neighboring building. The physical barriers end up getting thrown into the driveway, and I'll be backing in the middle of the night, and it's like, what did I just hit now?
Well, you have a surveyor actually determine the exact line to put that fence.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we actually had it surveyed and marked already, and then the people next door came and they drew a big yellow line down without a surveyor, and it wasn't the right line.
Kind of trying to tell you.
No, I like to be as nice about all this as possible, and because I've been down this road for about a full year with the neighbors. Once a developer bought it, I said, hey, guys, can we come up with a plan? While you're doing this rental, can you help me manage all of this traffic? I've got issues. I've got safety problems. And they said, yeah. And then it wasn't happening. So I kept sending emails back and forth. And I didn't really get any traction. Then I reached out to them. I said, how about we get together and we build a fence together that you like and that we like, and we'll present it. And they were like, no, we're not going to build a fence now. That's going to prohibit our access during construction. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so I was trying myself, the best way I could to be a good neighbor. And I do think the new building next door is going to bring permanent neighbors, which will be awesome. I've lived there for about 8 years, and we love it. And I think we're planning on staying for a good long time, I think that's what's going to happen next door too, with a rehabilitated building, but again, I gotta mitigate some challenges in the interim. And from an aesthetic standpoint, any sort of stipulations you guys want to put my way, as long as Reliable Fence can do them, we're doing them.
So should you want me to, any other commissioner comments or questions?
No, I think we're satisfied.
So let me try to articulate that we're approving the proposed black vinyl clad chain link fence as proposed, that would come to extend no farther than the front of the house. And that would have either a planter installed in front, or a hanging planting, a vegetation planter, a hanging planter, to shield and kind of mitigate the view of the fence. And that the proponent will consult with staff just when he's got the
specifications
for the fence and for the front post of the fence and for exactly where the fence will come, just to assure that it is complying with not coming farther than the front of the house.
Absolutely.
A second?
Okay.
Somebody
second? A second.
Okay. Kristen?
Yes.
I say yes.
Yes.
Sharon, yes. Okay, so the commission has approved unanimously approved with provisos application 19.833AB 42 Englewood Avenue, applicant Ben Jacob Ellis, proposed work install 42-inch tall black vinyl coated fence at side. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you so much.
Good luck.
Do we
have any meeting minutes?
Do we have any?
You can just email me when you have permission.
Okay, awesome.
Think we have any.
Sorry about the email mix up.
Hey,
I don't
no
think
problem.
We have any administrative review on
no,
this.
No, no, I'm still working on the minutes because I wanted to go over the 24 cell a little more.
Okay, so minutes for this meeting will be reviewed and approved at a future hearing. Rather, minutes from the February hearing will be received and approved at a future hearing. Any other new business? Anything else?
No, we did, as I mentioned, we sent out nominating letters for nominations to fill our vacancies.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll be hearing back in 60 days.
Okay.
We'll
Anything else?
That's it.
I think we can
close
adjourn.
The session?
Yes, yeah. Would we make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
Kirsten? I say yes.
Yes.